Father, we thank you for a time like this. We thank you for
revelation. Thank you for
the impact of the word. Lord, even as we get into study this morning, we will receive revelation knowledge, we will receive clarity, we will receive your word in its meekness and in its simplicity. Our hearts behold Jesus even as he sees us in himself, and we study, he is glorified, and we are edified. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So, hallelujah.
So, we are taking up a series we started, that was 2020 December 2021, right? It's called The Revelation of God. The Revelation of God. So, Revelation of God. Now, a quick disclaimer. This series is a series that will go on for years. I'm looking at in another 7-8 years. Amen. 7-8 years. So the question is, and it will be systematic, the question is, why the series? Because we need to know, why are we having this series at this point in time? Why are we having this series at this point in time? Because this series is not a defense for God. We're not trying to put a defense for God, because he didn't ask us to do that. Amen. Amen. We're not trying to say, no. We're actually having a systematic study of scriptures to reveal to us the true nature and character of God. Hope you're hearing me. So we're not attacking any belief system. We're not trying to defend God. Oh, it's not God, it's God. But you'll be able to see that, oh, this is not God. But when we go through the scriptures, you'll be able to know what God does and what God didn't do. Hallelujah. So, I want to make a very, very strong assumption that we are all listening to Introduction to Revelation of God and Revelation of God Series 1. Amen. But yet we'll still go over some of those things again, but there are some assumptions I have, because in the series where we looked at we looked at what do we have in the nature of God, right? If we look at that, we say God is love, he's the Father. If we look at all that, God is love. We look at the Father nature of God. I guess we looked at God as God as a mother in another series. We looked at God as a Father. Loving God. We look at when he says visiting the iniquities of the Father. What does it mean? Does it mean is God going to carry out vengeance? But we still look at some of those things, but not as in detail that we looked at it in series 1. So I would recommend you to go back to series 1. You can download it. Listen to it very well. Hallelujah. We answer questions again of, did God harden the heart of Pharaoh? You know what I'm saying? So God had hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that Pharaoh was not able to deal with Pharaoh. No. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. But we saw all that, right? Right? We saw all that. So we're going to ride on some of those assumptions. But at the same time too, for the sake of some people who were not here that period, though, this teaching doesn't exonerate you from listening to the previous one. Amen. So you're going to go back again to re-listen to them. Hope you're hearing me. So did God harden Pharaoh's heart? It was God that hardened. No, it is in the Bible there. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. We saw that, right? But it was not God that hardened the heart. It was Pharaoh that hardened his heart himself. Amen. So we also bring forth that we said God's permissive will, right? Sometimes God's name is mentioned when it's not actually God. But God's name will be mentioned because it's the works of God. We're going to look at all that clearer in this series as we go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's roll. It's time to roll. Matthew 28. Let's roll. We have a whole lot to look at today, into tomorrow, into other weeks. Okay, back to you, see it. Poverty, they say. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 16 from verse 15. Mark 16 from verse 15. Mark 16 from verse 15. He says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign, hallelujah, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. So they will take off serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And he went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Luke 24, from verses 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, that God did. Now, listen, stop there. Before then, he showed them in verses 44, later that the word I spoke to you while I was still with you, that what this was before thee, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me, and he opened he the understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. It says, thus it is written. So, thus it is written, what does it mean? Thus it is written will be law of Moses, the prophet and the Psalms concerning me. Did you see that? Yeah? So that means what you will find in the law of Moses, the prophet and the Psalms, which will be Genesis down to Malachi, will be what? The instructions there will be what? It behoves Christ to suffer to answer the death of the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins will preach. So that means when he gave that instruction in verse 17, he's telling you, verse 47, he's telling you that the instruction in verse 47 is the instructions of Moses, the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms, Genesis to Malachi. Did you see that? So that means that instruction is the instruction of what? Genesis down to Malachi. Okay, following. Hallelujah. Look at John. John 21. John 20, 21, sorry. He says, and he said to them, peace to you. My Father has sent me, John 20, 21, and my Father sent me, so send I you. And he breathed on them. Amen. I say, when you said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye forgive, I forgive it. And whosoever sins ye retain, I retain. Hallelujah.
I want to do something.
Okay. Amen. So he says, drive from them and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. 23 says, whosoever sins ye remit, I remit to them. And whosoever ye retain, I retain. Now the word sins in the second part, which is the retain, is not is italicized, it's not in the original. So you didn't say you should retain sin. So whatever you retain, I retain. Hallelujah. And that will be in the preaching of the gospel. Like we said earlier, that will be instructions of the scriptures. Right? Now, on Sunday, I made us see that those instructions are the same. Right? Even if they are captured differently. Did you get that on Sunday? They were captured differently, right? You see, how can you say they are the same stuff? Matthew said disciples, Luke said forgiveness of sins, Mark said preach the gospel. How are they the same? Just a very simple one. You saw the two books I gave to you now to look at. Are they written the same way? No. You saw how you wrote it, huh? You saw, it's the same class, so. Amen? It's the same class, but I just made a statement. Someone wrote it. Now if you read it, though, you think I didn't say love. You think I didn't say love Moses, prophet, and the son. But he now captured love Moses, prophet, and the son. Did you see that? He now put it in brass. So it's the same class. It's the same word I said, but everybody wrote it differently. So it's the same instructions. Did you get that? but they were captured differently. Amen. It's 40 days teaching. It was not 40 days teaching that Jesus would come and teach and go and come back. No. He was with them 40 days, day and night. They had class. He was teaching them 40 days. They might have sections where they would break and come back, but he taught them straight 40 days. Do you see that? So imagine within 40 days, and you have 40 days compressed into verses 28, I mean Matthew 28 from verses 18 to 20. 40 days was captured inside how many verses? Inside 3 verses. Mark, 40 days instruction was captured, both the teaching and everything was captured into how many days? Into how many? 4 verses. Now the sweetest of all is John. John captured 40 days into his breath on them. That is 40 days. He said his breath. Now his breath on them is everything he said to them within 40 days. Did you see that?
Yes,
so you now have to see that as a Bible student, it is the same instruction, amen? And I broke it down for us on Sunday. That first of all, Matthew did, I always told you, Matthew did with discipleship. Mark would deal with the entrance into it, which is the preaching of the gospel. Luke will call the preaching of the gospel the preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins. Why John will now say when a man gets born again, his sins are remitted. Did you see that? Now something else I wanted to wrote on Sunday. On Sunday that will be very germane as we go into this series is the fact that another thing that will make you know that why you will find those differences, especially in their accounts. In their accounts, not just in the social, mainly as in their accounts. I've heard people say the accounts there were some discrepancies. So how come that all the miracles that John wrote was most of them were not, 90% of them were not captured by Matthew and Mark? It was only John that wrote Jesus was in the wedding at Cana. He didn't find it in Matthew and Mark and Luke. Did you see that? So how come the miracles are different at times? How come this and this? What? Someone said why? Now, at some other point, Jesus, they had also issues. Oh, okay, not today. Some people tell you, okay, in terms of timing. Now the timing that said Jesus got into Galilee in the while it was yet dark, Jesus got into the Galilee in the early hours of the day. He got into Galilee at night. Say, timing difference. Did you get that? Say, why? Why? Someone wrote, Jesus was crucified a day before Easter. Easter. Before Passover, that because of Passover, they got in that another account. We have put and say why? See, listen, I told you on a Sunday that first thing first is the fact that you have to settle this. If your issue is on some certain frivolities, you're going to miss it. Amen. Why? They were not writing the scriptures when the events were happening. How? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John were not written when the events were happening. Okay, we're not written when the events were happening. For example, imagine Jesus was about to cast out a demon. But did they have similar miracles? Yes. The only person that had a very far different miracle from one of them was John, and that was deliberate. Because John wrote his way after all of them were dead. Do you understand me? John was the last apostle, last of the apostles that was alive. So he wrote his when others were long dead, not just 5 years dead, long dead. And John was old. So he wrote the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation together in the island of Patmos. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So you now have to go back again, and the reason for this is very unique, but we're going to deal with that more today. Amen.
So the question now will now be, when Jesus, okay, I was about to give you an example. Imagine when Jesus was about to cast out the demon from the madman, and you'll say, son of God, what is the name? No, they were not writing scriptures when Jesus was there. In fact, Luke was not there when Jesus was in Jerusalem. Luke wasn't there. Mark wasn't even there. Mark wasn't his disciple. Luke wasn't his disciple. Luke is a disciple of Paul and Mark was a disciple of Peter. Did you see that? But it becomes very vital because we have two non-disciples that wrote about it. They learned from the disciples, and we have two of his disciples that wrote about the same account. We have John and Matthew are disciples of Jesus. Mark and Luke were not. But it makes you see the balance on both sides. Amen. We have disciples, apostles, and those who were their disciples right. Hope you're following me. But they were not writing as the events were unfolding. Okay, and Jesus sat down. Okay, Jesus, sir, sorry, sir, for what you said, sir. Sir, sorry. Can you come back again? What you said there, that line. Yeah. Can you define it again, sir? No, that was not what was happening. Amen. Amen.
Glory to
God. Well, I told us that they wrote. Mark is the first person to write to write about the synoptic. Mark was the first. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And Mark did not write it 1 year after the resurrection. No. Mark did not write it 2 years. Mark wrote it decades after the resurrection. In fact, we're talking about within the 6 to 7 decades after the resurrection. Amen. 6 to 7 decades. Around 60 to 70 years. How about that? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
6 to 7 decades. Do you see that? So it's not something that they wrote 1 year after the resurrection. No, they wrote it years after. Amen. But sir, why did they write it years? So before they wrote it years after, where was it? Did you see that? They had it in their what? Message. I said it. They had it as oral tradition. So when they explained, the way they do it is they had the Bible. They had their Bible, Genesis to Malachi. So when they read through Genesis to Malachi, they will explain Genesis, they will not explain the fulfillment of Genesis down to Malachi in the resurrection of Jesus. So you will find the four gospels in their teaching. You see that? They had it in their teaching. Though was not written immediately, but it was in their message. Hallelujah. So that alone. Imagine some of you now, I tell you, you're going to get me your teaching notes of GPLR communion table. Get me. So when I thought about communion table, was it, you are told to write about GPLR 2015, yes. I can remember GPLR 2015 very, very well. I am not told, can you give us a summary of GPLR 2015? Some of you will begin to chop your mouth and say, Pastor wore a jean cloth. Say, no, it was not jean. It was seven star. Say, no, it was not seven star. He wore galabia. You are not arguing. Right? Say, no, it was not galabia. Pastor came, he said, no, it's not came, he said. And you need to write it in, let's say, an autobiography of that, a summary of that book, or just to do a review, sort of 2015. Just tell us about it. Where was it held? I'm telling you that some people will have forgotten the color of my chair. Yeah, because we're sitting like this. Some people say, no, the chair had no. That was the day that Pastor Dixon broke my Pastor Smart's church. No, it was not that day. That happened a year after. No, you see, why would you have such human elements? Because it has taken a while. Yeah? I told you about someone I wanted to do an interview. And they asked him, what did he score in his YEC? Well, I just finished school. I finished school 26. Secondary school 26. Yeah, I went, whether God said my wife, I can still tell you my WAEC result. I can still tell you my WAEC result. I prayed about it. I can never forget it. I will even tell you how I went to check the result. Oh yes, I went to the cafe. I went to check the positive cafe. I knew the seat. I knew when I saw the first result. The first I immediately I saw a lot of it. it's not now that you carry your phone and you are in cafe. What's the result? You just shoot it to the wall. My eyes alone. Like it's not good. You're on. I'm done. Some people, if they see my result today, they say, oh, Pastor, your result is very lovely. They didn't know some things that happened in that result. Some people have the gist. Have the gist. There's something that... I just love that immediately. Thank you. I don't need to check the second time because my wire card will finish. So I kept it, I will just relax. I said, this year, if I don't go to school, problem there's a problem. I am praying. If you have any of my, I will tell you whether it's B1, B2, B10, anything, I will tell you. I know it. In fact, to shock some people, I know my junior YS results. Everything. Yeah. Because you just want to add P, the rest. I don't want to have P French. P, the rest. So what do you want to tell me again? Somebody else, let's go. He says, except I checked, I don't know. That's people like that. Your result. Remember that? How many of you in this song can remember what you score in history? In math, you know your score come in math. You might not remember. But me, I still remember some. I still remember some. Most times, why do you remember some of those? Why do I remember those? Because there are some drama that happened around it. So, because of that drama, I know. Remember one time that I didn't know that when they give you exam and they say answer four out of five, you are supposed to keep to 4 out of 5. So I haven't gotten to that social studies exam. It's GSS 1. I like GS 1 or 2. Okay, no, GS 1. My GS 2 teacher died. So GS 1. That's answer 5 out of 6. And answer the whole 6. Woman mark the whole 6. Now out of the 5 out of 6, she now look at the one where I scored lesser. Now counted the one I scored more. You not counting. I was getting more than 50. I was coming. I left you on the circle. I had to be like, man, please, man. I'm going to watch the zombie. He said, how? I said, man, if you look at this score, I said, no, the question is answer 5 out of 6. I said, okay, man. Okay, let's take out this one. At least I will get like 6. He said, no. It's not done like that. You give you the one that you scored less. The one you scored high, you kick it away. Did you see? I will remember. You understand? Amen. So I will remember that one. Glory to God. So they was 18 years after. But the vital ones, listen, the vital one, the vital part of his incarnation, they taught. And that was what they wrote. And so that means what you have written as the incarnation are the fulfillment of the scriptures. They are vital to the scriptures. You understand me?
Go ahead, God.
Amen. Yeah. You will not find that Jesus went to take his bath. What is the correlation between taking his bath and scriptures? Did you see that? So that means the four gospels, or what you have as the synoptic, was not actually a storytelling. No. Is actually what the writing of scripture fulfilled. Amen. So we said all through the book of Acts, you'll find it there. Right? You'll find it there in their words, in their teaching before it was written. Now, we looked at some of those things on Sunday. We looked at Acts 2. Right? Did we see Acts 2? Let me just take us through it. Acts 2. Amen? Acts 2. From verses 22. You'll find it there. It says, "Ye men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus." I mean, hear these words. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye also knew. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by and by wicked hands ye have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it." Did you see that? Amen. Did you see that? He says, now look at, he says 25, "For David speaketh concerning him." Jesus? No, so we're going to see. Was David really writing about Jesus? But we're going to see that. But he wrote about him. Say, "I foresaw the Lord." He was writing about him. He said, "Lord, before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved." So that means what David was writing in the Psalms was a predictive. Well, that was a predictive psalm. He was writing about Christ. Did you see that? He said, "Therefore is my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thy only one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, that I am thou, I mean, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Men and brethren, let us quickly speak of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ." Did you see that? Amen? Mm-hmm. He spoke of the resurrection of Christ. He was prophesying. Did you see that? He said that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Did you see what he's doing? This is what they are doing. So they are reading the scriptures and they are telling you this is the fulfillment here. When David said that thou wilt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption, David wasn't writing about himself, he was writing in the spirit. Right? And it was fulfilled in Christ. Hope you are following that.
Yes, sir.
Hope you are seeing that. It was fulfilled in Christ. Amen. So how did they write scriptures? They will write, and what did they write about the four gospels? They were writing it as scriptures fulfilled. Amen. As scriptures fulfilled. In chapter 3, from verse 12 to 18 also. Okay. Before we get to chapter 3, just let's see what how Paul will put the same thing, the same way, in Acts 13. The same, Acts 13. Let me jump my notes a bit because we looked at the others. So let me get into some we've not looked at. Acts 13, verse 21. We'll go back to chapter 3 soon. Acts 13, verse 21. Look at it. It says, "And afterwards, yet they desired a king. And God gave them Saul, the son of Cis, a man." Okay? We're actually going to have a long reading here. "A man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king." You need to follow me now. "He raised up David to be their king, to whom he also gave their testimony, and said, I found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." Hope you say that.
Yes, sir.
When he says a man after my own heart, the one he chose. Now he says a man after my own heart. Which have fulfilled my will. Of this man's seed had God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. He said, when John had first preached, now he says, of this man's seed, which is David, right? Had God, according to the promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. Now this is talking about the humanity of Jesus, the incarnation. Hope you are seeing that. Look at 25. "And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Who think ye I am? I am not he, but behold,
they comment one after me, whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to lose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to use the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, right? Nor the voices of the prophets, which I read every Sabbath, they fulfilled them in condemning him. Said, and though they found no cause for death in him, they desired, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Hope you follow me.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That he should be slain. What is he talking about? This is the crucifixion, right?
Yes.
The death. Hallelujah. Look at that. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. Look at what they wrote that were written of him. So he's saying everything that happened to Jesus on the cross you find in the scriptures. You see that? Will be scriptures fulfilled. They're showing you that even his death on the cross was scripture fulfilled. This is what Paul is saying. That the death of Jesus on the cross, the event that led to the death, will be scriptures fulfilled. Verse 30. But God raised him up from the dead. Do you see that? God raised him up from the dead. Hallelujah. God raised him up from the dead. Something very vital that they skipped in their teaching or in their stories. He raised him up from the dead. Hallelujah. Look at verses 32. It is, and we declare to you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the Father, God hath fulfilled the same to us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again. You see that? I raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Did you see how they are reading it? They are reading the scriptures in the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A very vital part of their testimony will be verses 31. It says, and we are witnesses. Hallelujah. It says, we are witnesses unto these people. Very vital. A quick one. Let's get back to Acts of Apostles chapter, chapter 3, so verses 12. So you find it in their message, chapter 3, verse 12. You find it there again. It says, and when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, is a man, why marvel at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our power, by our own power or holiness, have we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up. Is that the crucifixion? His death, right? And denied him in the presence of Pilate. So Pilate becomes very vital when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are what? Witness. Did you see that?
Yes.
Is a very vital part of that of his, is a very vital part of the life of Jesus in the incarnation. His death, his burial, his resurrection, and his witness. His death, burial, resurrection, and his witness. His witness will bear evidence of the resurrection. Hallelujah. See, well, if you watch in all what we've been reading, there is that strong emphasis on we are his witness. We his witness. Hallelujah. Very vital. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hope you are following me.
Yes, sir.
Acts chapter 7. Acts 7 quickly. Look at the bit on Acts 7. Look at 37 first. Acts 7:37. Okay. It says, and when Moses, and this is that Moses, who said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from your brethren, like unto me. Him shall lay ye here. Quickly rush down to verses 51. So, he first of all gets to make you see that the prophecy of Jesus, you hear it first from who? Moses. From the Genesis. You find it from the Genesis, from Moses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, something we're going to see, when he picks out a prophet shall, he's not telling you to just go there. No, when he picks out that verse, it's for you to pick that verse, right? Listen, you pick that verse and you do what? You go back to reread Moses. You see that? You read Moses, everything you find he spoke concerning the Messiah when you read them together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember, I showed us that the Messiah or the Christos will be the seed. So Moses wrote about the seed from the Genesis. Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
The seed. Who is the image? Hallelujah. So let's see a few things. Verses 51, it says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as the Father did, so do ye. You see that? The which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted? I mean, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Say, and they have slain them which show before the coming of the just one. Do you see that? Of whom ye now, I mean, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. What is he doing to them? He's showing them a pattern. He's uniting them with the prophets. I mean, he's uniting them with the murderers, with Cain. I said that emphatically on Sunday. But when he says, which of the prophets has your fathers not persecuted and killed? You will first and go back to Jesus. When Jesus spoke about the same thing, and Jesus will point our attention to who? To Cain. Did you see that?
Yes,
amen. We will point our attention to Cain. Abel whom Cain slew. Did you see that? Abel who Cain slew. So he showed them that pattern. That pattern is from the Genesis. You'll find the same pattern. So I told us on Sunday that the Bible is a book of patterns. The Bible is a book of patterns. So you have to pay attention to patterns in the scriptures. Intelligent students of scriptures must pay attention to patterns. There are patterns in scriptures. Hallelujah. So he said the same pattern you find happened to Jesus, he said it is not the first time. Hallelujah. It's not the first time that you find darkness over light. Do you see that? But what is it about Jesus? That of Jesus will now be, the resurrection of Jesus will now be what? Come on, will now be what? Light over darkness. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Do you see that? Light over darkness. Hallelujah. Because that's what the resurrection shows. That light will shine out of darkness. Hope you're following that.
Yes,
hope you're following that. Okay, let's go for that. Verses 53. Say, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? Now look at verses 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadily. Now they were down, what is it? And they were just murmuring. That's what it means. Then he just said, him full of the Holy Ghost, right, looked steadfastly into heaven. He was sitting, this was happening in the temple. He was happening in the temple. Something you're going to see. Who's happening in the temple? Remember, a good student of scripture will know what the temple means. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth. This is that? Heaven and earth. God's plan. Now, he in the temple, just like Jesus that we are about to see shortly. He in the temple stood, and what did he say, verse 66? He said, I beheld the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They knew what it means. Remember, he had told them that it's the same person that you guys have killed. Was that the gist they had in town? Yes. That was what everybody said. We killed him. Now, He now said, hey, I beheld the heavens open. They did that, and the Son of Man, whom in their mind they killed. I beheld him standing at the right hand of God and was saying it right in the temple. Hallelujah. So when he says standing at the right hand of God, their mind immediately goes into the holies of holies. I say, how? Did you see that? The holiest of all. So he's telling them that the man you killed is the high priest. Hope you are saying that. He said that he's the high priest and he is alive. So what did they do? The Bible says immediately they got angry. And they ran at him. Because the resurrection is an offense. Okay, everybody.
Amen?
See, madam.
I'll tell you somebody.
Yeah? That the Muslims, and it is very emphatic, the Muslims do not deny Jesus. Amen. They do not deny Jesus. Have you ever seen a Muslim person deny Jesus? They will not tell you. We are not against Jesus. It's just that these all those other parties, the servant, the prophet, I don't have time for that nonsense. Amen. Because if you ask me, I'll tell you he's good, he's a servant. He's a prophet, he's a servant, and he's God. Now is that part of his God and that he resurrected? That is the offense. It's not whether Jesus ever came. Do you understand me? No, it's not about disease come, but what they cannot seem to fathom. These days they really don't go for who is the wife. That those were 1990 something, so every Muslim is telling you that he's an illiterate, he doesn't know book. because a lot of people have dealt with them on that. That you can, that is not a front to stand with. So most of them don't do that. Those who really went to Arab school, the ones that will come and say, who is the wife? It's one that used to attend mosque once in 4 years. And once only when they are doing a odun, like today, they go and pray. That is the one that will ask that kind of question. Who is the wife? Or those that are still attending Sunday school. Children. Because no real person wants to argue scripture or wants to tackle you, God, then who is the wife? So they will know it's a stupid question to ask. Amen. Some of them don't waste their time because you know they're unintelligent. Amen. But the real thing is, his prophet, he cannot be God. The reason why they say he cannot be God is them telling you, he cannot tell you he resurrected. Amen. Because that is the major offense. Hallelujah. That is the major offense. And that is where our faith lies in. See, let me say this to you. There is nothing new that is under the sun. There's nothing new. Anyone who says from scripture, there's nothing new under the sun. I don't believe in resurrection. See, even in the days of Paul, people said so. Amen. Those who were around when he was there, some of them were around when he was alive, they said there is no resurrection from the dead. Don't you say that? So who said he did resurrect? And Paul had to deal with that. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he dealt with that. Can you say there's no resurrection? In fact, the way Paul now used, when Paul was to address that within the church, within the local church, when Paul was to address that, Paul now says, if Christ did not, the way he used the word resurrect, he didn't use the word resurrect like something that happened in the past, no. He used it as a present, he used it as a present noun continuous. Pardon my grammar. Amen. Something that has happened, that is happening and will keep happening, is in its perfect tense. Hope you're hearing me. Perfect tense. So, today is the same. Tomorrow, he resurrected, and he's resurrecting. Amen. Amen. That is how the resurrection is. That's why I told us resurrection is not an event. Though it had an event in it, which is the day he resurrected, right? It is the believer's life. Because as many as are born again, they are experiencing the same resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. So our being saved, we are saved into that resurrection. Okay, you hear me? So it's very unintelligent to even start on the front of who is God's wife. It sounds stupid.
Is it because they won't have why is that they are a senior? Because you're unintelligent. So when you know, he just he always do your strength. Sometimes I would make them know they are stupid. Say, is God human? Is supernatural, right? So if it's supernatural, does it need a woman to have a son? We're not going through scriptures. So no, I've taught you this. Does it need a woman to have a son? No, now. Amen. That is just logical. Is it that is the people that say what God cannot do does not exist? You got to want this one. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory. Okay. So where were we? So we said the resurrection is an offense. It was an offense. It is an offense. It will always be an offense to the unbelievers. To the how can you tell me that a man? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not just that he resurrected. That is not the issue. The fact that he resurrected and he lives in the believer. You know, that is why it is the miracle of all miracles. Yeah? It beats human imagination. That is it. Go with the God. Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
Glory. So we have the resurrection. So because of that, they went at him.
Well, they killed him. But they killed him the same way they killed Jesus and they killed all the prophets. The same pattern. Did you see the same pattern?
Jesus followed that same pattern and told them, say a time shall come when they will kill, when men will kill you and say they are doing God a service. Is that not the same pattern from Genesis? It's the same pattern. Amen? You must always learn to see scripture as a pattern, as believers. Amen? As a pattern, if you read that pattern through and read the fulfillment in Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 10 quickly. Acts 10. But we are on Saturday. I mean on Sunday. Did you get to Acts 10? Okay, Acts 10. Let's get there. Verses 34. Quite lengthy. Okay, chapter 10. Verse 35, are you there? It says, and Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth he, and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word of God, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached.
And I will say that even in Peter's place, this is a teaching class. Amen. This is not for the service. So there are some things I will teach us, I will show us from here. Now, I will say, even as much as Peter didn't have his defense strong in chapter 11, but chapter 10 for me, in we look at Peter, how Peter taught his ease, is quite of a masterpiece somehow. Look at it. Now he had a Gentile audience. Now unlike when he had in chapter 2 when he had a Jewish audience, how did he read it? He read it from the Genesis, right? He read it from he showed them their fathers. This is that our fathers. We're speaking about Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. But here in chapter 10, because of the Gentile audience in person of Cornelius and his household. He didn't have to go through David. Well, he didn't find David in his conversation, but intelligently he picked out Jesus' ministry from Galilee. Watch it.
So he goes to Galilee. Where is Galilee? Galilee is where you have, it's called the Galilee of Nations. I've showed us that before. The Galilee of Nations, where you have Jewish, where you have the Jews and the Gentiles. Right? In Israel. So it's called Galilee of the Nations, where they dwell. Hallelujah. So, and Jesus began his ministry from there. When he told them, he asked them to meet him in Galilee. He gave them instruction from there. That's where he started his ministry. And he told them, go into all the world from Galilee, where you have all the world. Did you see that? It's just like a Sabon Giri in Kano, where you have all tribes. It's not a concentrated area for some people. You have every tribe in that axis. And it says, go into all the world. And it was in all the world. Hope you are following me. We're going to deal with that, but not actually in this world. We'll see a bit of it. But he sent them into all the world. So, what did Peter do? He took them again to Galilee. No, like he took them to where Jesus had his ministry, Galilee. Did you see that? Hallelujah. After the baptism which John preached. Did you see that? Amen. Hope you're following that. Which John preached. So he took them back again. This is how the ministry started. And he began to talk about Christ. Hallelujah. Take note. Did he mention Genesis to Malachi? He did. But not expressly. Hallelujah. We're going to read that also. Hallelujah. But intelligently he puts it out. Otherwise it has a very big form of intelligence there. Hallelujah. Because sometimes you have to meet people who you have to teach Jesus to, and they will tell you, I don't want to hear Genesis to Malachi. And yet, you still have to preach Jesus to them and still bring in Genesis to Malachi without mentioning Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Just the intelligence there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see that verse 37. The word I say, you know, which was published all throughout Judea. Okay, no, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses. Did you see that part again? Of these things, which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Did you see that again?
Yes, sir.
Did you see that again? The crucifixion. Hallelujah.
Yes,
note, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To him gave all the prophets witness. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Prophets?
Yes, sir.
Going back to the scriptures, right?
Yes, sir.
That through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sins. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Become very intelligent. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 8.
Before 10. Okay, we're not on... We didn't see 8 too, right? Chapter 8, verse 34. Now this is the Ethiopian Enoch. 34. It says, and the Enoch answered Philip. No, the Enoch met
Philip met the Ethiopian Enoch and was reading that should be Isaiah. We're reading Isaiah 55.
And sorry, Isaiah 53. Now, on reading Isaiah 53. He got stuck at a point. He said,
"I'm sure who speaks he the prophet concerning this of his name was or someone else." Now, because of what he said, because of what he is reading. So, Peter, Philip met him. Look at what Philip did to him in verse 34.
Okay. Verse 35. And Philip opened his mouth and began from at that scripture, which is Isaiah 53, and preached unto him Jesus. This. Hope you can see that. He preached unto him Jesus. So from that
scripture, he now taught Jesus. So what would he teach about Jesus? As the fulfillment of scriptures. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
So, we said they had it in their teachings. They had the four gospels in their teachings. Then it was written years after. It was written years after. Hallelujah. On the foot, they were later inspired to write. They were later inspired to write. So we get to see what does it mean as we get into this teaching in the coming days and coming sessions. What does it mean to be inspired of God? Hallelujah. But yes, in their writing, you find that human element in terms of timing and some other things. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
Glory, glory, glory. So they will write. Many times, when they write, you'll find some of, like I said, you'll find some of those, a bit of, maybe timing. So sometimes, okay, let's see something. In John chapter 2. John 2. Let's go to John 2. I call it, but I don't expect you to have issues with that anymore, because we did something as soon as we started, where I took someone's two people's notes and then we looked at it, right? They saw the fact that it's just what I said in less than 5 to 10 minutes. In fact, there were some things he captured that he didn't capture, and there are a lot of things he wrote that he didn't write. You saw the difference, right? Right? You saw the difference. So it's just very vital. Just within 2 minutes. How much more something that was written and years after you not have to write? So most of the time you'll find maybe wordings and some other things like that. But let's deal with that. Let's deal with one. Look at John 2. Verses 12. Okay, before we get to John 2, roll down to Matthew 21. Why don't I jump to John 2 first? Matthew 21. Verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that so do. And he said to them, it is written, my Father's house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and lame came to him and healed them.
You see this? So look at how they wrote. Look at how what he said here. Now,
Mark wrote the same thing, Mark 11, the same thing. Mark 11, 15, the same. 15. He says, and they came and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and he would not suffer that any man should carry vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of all nations. Shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. The other one, Mark wrote,
all nations. But there is all nations. The other is doing everything. Amen. Amen. But it's the same thing they wrote.
The same thing with Luke 19:45-47. Let's not dive into that. But let's get to John. But you know, first of all, I've seen somebody that said Jesus was angry when they got the temple and this gang just so they're selling money, you just carry all of them. Someone even said Jesus began to beat them.
So, in fact, whenever I read this, at the back of my mind, I felt I would, because it's what I had. I had when I was small. At the top of my mind, I felt Jesus carried koboko. I was weeping all of them. You know, then, that was the major reason why I joined, part of the major reason why I joined Boys Brigade. for not the Jews.
What does it mean why James went to the gate?
Because then, after church, they used to sell kunu outside church. After church, people sell kunu. So we don't carry. So then, boys' brigade people used to be very, very strict. Very strict, they don't laugh. I don't like them. They don't laugh. So when I got class, I was like, this is their family school. But after church, then, those of you who didn't know, who do not know the church I'm talking about, that's what I'm saying. It's not Saint Pavilion Church. Then, I was just, then, they don't sell. The people that sell are not church people, are base people. So they will not be selling, they will bring kunu, biscuits. Some children will now carry their offering money. Go and buy this time, kunu. The kunu is not kunu rubber. If you have kunu rubber, it's more than nine. It's kunu inside nylon, on the base kunu. Right? So you know what, boys brigade, I like them. So carry kunu. Some people will sell mugu. As in, what is the connection? This is going to sell mugu yam. Close the church. So, I didn't like it at all. Tony was asking me, who was asking me, where did I get this my activist attitude from? That my father is a military man. Also, one guy that I was dealing with. One blah blah blue guy. I was dealing with that. Oh, is your father is a politician? I said, oh, why is a bloody military man? He asked me, when did you get this activist? Whatever. I said, I'm not activist, so. But some things are not right. I'm just a friend of those things. So, and there's one guy that usually we see. I don't see him laugh. Young guy! I said, how does this guy look like a role model? I don't want to mention his name. I look like a role model. Let me follow his steps. Then we used to have a captain there, Arastus. Arastus came after him. But Arastus was not the captain, but was the senior officer there.
Carry
the sword over. Carry. Go. Don't flog those people. Yeah. And the man told us that Jesus flogged people from the temple. 17 has sank. Yes, it sank. No, you don't want to tell you, Jesus flogged people.
No, Jesus didn't flog him.
So, you know, if you read this, maybe it's me or maybe not you. Maybe it's me. He looked at it, Jesus going to the temple and started not just destroying, flogging people up and down. So they were now in chaos. People were running this way. What's happening? That guy just beating everybody. Even if he is chief of army staff. Imagine you go to a Fijalo market and you started flogging people. They will hold you. They will pound you. Okay. Sure, we're all right. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But let's see John. Glory to God. Look at John. John 2. 4 verses 12. After this, he went to Capernaum, and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and he went into Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money. And when he had made a sort of small court, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the table, and said unto them, take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. Did you see that? Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Now, John did mention Jesus said, my father's house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. No. Did you see that? But in that make not my father's house a house of merchandise, you already know, you already understand what he's saying. Right? Not a place of buying and selling. Amen?
Yes,
amen? So he didn't bring in prayer. But does it mean Jesus didn't mention prayer? No. Amen? Glory to God. But something else you need to see. And the disciples remembered
And the Jews said unto him, okay, look at that. And when he answered the Jews and said unto them, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? And he said unto them, destroy this temple in 3 days and I'll raise it up. So you have that conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees in the temple to make you see that what they had at that point was not just Jesus driving people around, was actually a teaching class. You see that? So that conversation makes you see that it was a teaching class. Jesus taught them, and the pushing them out of the temple was a what? Was a what? Was a sign of it. You see that? Amen. So Jesus knows that the temple is not building. Make not my father the house of Martin that I think is bricks. No. But that attitude of pushing them out, driving them out, was a pointer to what he was teaching them. So now they destroy this temple and now wind it up on the front. Do you see that? Amen. And they didn't still understand what he was saying. Glory to God. So first of all, put it, Jesus wasn't angry. He didn't whip anybody first. He didn't whip anybody. He didn't flog anybody. So then the tables and the money changers he sent out was part of his teaching class. Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory, glory, glory. We'll get to see all that as we go ahead. But maybe not directly in this teaching, but we'll get to see that as we go ahead. Now, in John 13, the Bible says Jesus began to wash their feet. If we get to John 13, the event of the Passover. Listen to me. The event of the Passover. Listen. Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote that on the Passover, they drank wine. Right? And ate bread. Listen, drank wine and ate bread. Now you will think what Jesus was doing was just drinking wine. So the wine was just on the table. We have taught you that in communion table. Wine was just on the table and Jesus said, now I want to do Holy Communion. You know, today is the Sunday of the month. No. Did I do Holy Communion? Oh yeah, everybody drink one cup. Don't say one and one cup. Oh yeah, sip. Now that is my blood. You just drank. Imagine that is my blood. Oh! Blood. They knew what he was talking about. If Jesus had given you his blood, real blood, will you drink? Are you dry cooler? You drink blood. No. You wouldn't even drink. He said, even if he tells you, I'm just coming from God now. And God just give me this blood. This is my real blood. He said, will you drink? will you drink? We have some people. I've seen some people even... Some people have eaten grass. I'm like, oh God. Some people have taken shettles. I will not drink. But I taught you that communion table was a teaching class. But normal, it was a Passover. And in the Passover, in the feast of the Passover, you have wine. You have bread. Unleavened bread. You find that from the Genesis. I mean from Exodus. When I say the Genesis, I mean you should go back to Exodus. You'll find out in Exodus. Right? When Moses instructed the communion. Now, they now have... Now, listen. How come they drank and ate? Jesus now said, this one, I will not drink it, but I will drink it with you in the kingdom. And you think it was wine. And so they will now reserve the wine to the kingdom. Which kingdom? No, now. Because if you read another account, which I showed us, they drank everything. Did you see that? So, which one was he saying I'll drink with you? So that you would know that it was a teaching class first. So, Jesus taught them. And when he was done teaching them, listen, when he was done teaching them, he now said, okay, just like I've told you, this is what I'll do. Now, take. This, now, he now used what they had as feasts. Listen, that's what they had as feasts to now do examples of what he's teaching them. So the bread that they were taking, unleavened bread. So he put their attention back again to Moses and said, this is my body, unleavened bread. You see that? He pointed them back again to Exodus. Now, he now said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Remembrance of me and often as you do it is not telling them you keep drinking this. No. As often as you do what? It's not the eating of the bread. It was when he said, as often as you do it, you are doing it in remembrance of me, and you're thinking it's communion, every Sunday communion, then you're going to be missing it. Because what he was doing to them was a teaching class. That communion, what they had as table where they commune together, was an example. I gave us an example now of my wayek. Imagine I'm done giving you and you're not going around looking for, now you're not looking to write wayek, so now you go to Trusted Cafe. Pastor talks about Trusted Cafe. You will never find it again. That's folded. Because something has folded. That's closed. You can't find it. Say, I want to know where's Trusted Cafe. I want to, you know, Pastor talked about it. No. You already, what was I saying? Right? You have to look at what was I saying. So when he said, do this in remembrance of me, it's not the communion table that they should keep taking Holy Communion, drinking wine and eating bread. Rather, it is the essence of it. When they do it amongst themselves, they are remembering him. What is the essence of it? What we are following? Glory to God. So you have to go back again to ask yourself, what was he teaching them? Hallelujah. What we are following? It's not a thing. Hope you are following me.
Yes,
so, you ready? So, what were we? Now, in that same communion, when John was right about that feast, listen, now, I want to also say this. I said this to some of us some time ago. I said, the communion in Matthew 26, that was not the first time Jesus was having supper with them. That was the first time Jesus had Passover with them. Hope you're hearing me. Jesus lived 33 years. Jesus had 33 Passovers. Hope you're hearing. Jesus had how many Passovers? 33 Passovers in his life. When he was with his disciples, he had 3 with them. Hope you're hearing me. Did they eat or any Passover? No. They were watching themselves. Amen? Look at John 7. He said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and said, did you see that? Let them come to drink out of my belly, out of his belly, rather, shall flow rivers of living water. It was after the feast, though. So meaning he took feet, he didn't say anything. They all done. So on this day he was not teaching them, and they, in front of them was the food. Amen. Amen. What's the food? And then he now taught them using the food. Amen. Now his pastor was not teaching them using the food. What did he do? The Bible says if you now read John, John was a continuation, John 13. Now you have to read John 13, John 14, John 15, and John 16. Because that conversation in John concerning the same Passover, listen, started from John 13. Hope you're following me. Into John 16. In fact, after John 16 or John 17, he went straight to pray. After he was done with them, he went straight to pray. Hope you're following that. Now, when you read John 13, you will discover that John specifically didn't talk about the Passover. I mean, he didn't talk about the food, the bread and the wine. Why? But what did he major on? He majored on what? He washed their feet. That means that night it was not just drinking and eating that they had. Jesus, because it was a teaching class, he had taught them with that. Now he now showing them the essence of his blood and his body. He took them out. Look at John 13. He took them out again. Took a basin, tied himself with towel. Oh, Jesus tied towel. No, he was wearing buba. Did Jesus tie towel? I thought he did not take his bath. No, he did not even eat. Did Jesus use the restroom? No, it's not the restroom. He was using it in the heavens. Stop talking nonsense. You. Somebody asked me one day, does Pope, imagine, does Pope, does he have woman's running stomach? Does he use the toilet? This was the answer after he said. I think it's just a very funny book. That was the guy that sang one line though, is to lie down. Sleep. I'm better. Poor, I love the ink.
Yeah.
The girl used to say one sheet.
Amen. Okay, where were we? I think John 13, right?
Okay, let's get to John 13 quickly. Okay. Amen. Okay, now look at this. John said in verse 1, now, before the feast, okay, this was before the feast, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and should depart out of this world, I say, having loved his own, were in the world, he loved them unto end, and super being end, I mean, and supper, sorry, being ended. This is that after the table, right? The devil enter, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simeon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and, okay, verse 4, he riseth from supper. Did you see that? From supper, what you call that table, right? So that means it did not, that event did not end after they were done eating. And Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you, this is my blood, take it, do it, you know. So after, if you read another account, say after he was done, he went with John, James, Peter, James and John to pray, and then he was captured and things like that. Now, they omitted, they omitted that he also washed their feet. So John wrote about that. Did you see that? So John writes that you will see that it was after the supper, before he went to pray, he washed their feet. Are still part of that teaching? No. Now look at verses 8. And verses 7. Okay? Verses 6. And cometh he, verses 4. He went from supper and laid aside his garment and took towel and girded himself. You see that? And he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with towel wherewith he was girded.
I told someone, you do Holy Communion, you do feet washing. He said, no, what is feet washing? I said, no, if you must do Holy Communion, you must do feet washing. It's the same, so you balance up. Cancel, everything must be balanced. Just come to church, right? They say, it's feet washing. Just come, I'll be washing your feet, Pastor. Come on. And when you want to wash the feet, don't just wear suit and wash feet, though. You must tie to wear. Bring basin. You must do everything, eh? Let the pastor do it. Good to wear, tight to wear. Sit down and wash everybody's feet.
No.
That was what you shouldn't do. Anyway, can you see? So if you must do communion, you must do feet washing too. Then you will cancel. Complete. Glory to God.
So some people say no.
Is it the towel you are scared of wearing? They know, you know, as a man, as an emuji. Not only emuji, but you can give mine. So what is your problem? No, what is the color of your problem? Even. We just need to understand this truth.
Hallelujah. Stop that. Okay, let's move ahead. Verse 7. Okay, verse 6. And you know when he took that towel, good himself, and cometh he to Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered, yes, what I do thou knowest not now. Did you see that? But thou shalt know thereafter. And Peter said to him, thou will never wash my feet. Jesus answered him.
This is, you know, is like a good disciple. No, you can never wash my feet. Ah, master, wash my feet. No. Jesus then said to him,
if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me.
Now, watch what Jesus said and what Peter said. Peter said, you will never wash my feet. Jesus knowing what he was doing, he was feet, but Jesus said, if I wash thee not. Jesus didn't say feet. If I wash not. That is the message around the example. So the example is the sheet, but the message is, if I wash thee not. So what Jesus is going to wash is not the feet really, but the feet will be a sign of what he wants to wash. What is he washing? Our hearts. Do you see that? we are saying that if I wash you not your feet. So what did Peter now say? Ah, master, not just my feet, both my head and all my body. Did you see? He didn't still understand. What we are going to do? He didn't still understand it. Because the emphasis is not the feet. But the feet will be a sign. Remember I told you there are signs of the gospel. You must always not look at, you see, rock, I am going for a rock. No, the rock points to God. Now the feet washing points to the washing of the body in salvation. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Okay, following. Amen. The washing of the believer, the washing of the heart in salvation.
Hope you're following that. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's get back to my notes.
Hope you understood what I said. What have you shown? Go. So, you know, you must always see the signs and not stick to the signs, but stick to the message. So Jesus had the message of what he was going to do. So in chapter 13, he showed them, he washed their feet, and he said, he washed their feet so that they don't start doing feet washing service. Rather, they should see that the washing of the feet is to point to salvation. And what does it now explain that feet washing to be? Chapter 14.
Chapter 14. If you get to chapter 14, he said, in my father's house. He calls it the spirit. He calls it the vine and the branch. Did you see that? Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, look at verse 15 there. It says, for I've given you an example that you should do as I've done. As I've done to you. So, what shall they do as he has done to them? Is it to start doing feet washing? No. But the essence of it.
Did you see that? The essence of it. Amen. So it's not a feet washing service. An example. So it means what he is doing there is an example, an illustration, not the real thing. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me closely. Hallelujah. The same way also, in John chapter number 2, where you also have other writers in Matthew 21, Mark 11 write, will be a teaching class. And chasing them, taking them out, and the taking them out will be a sign of it. A quick thing we need to see is, when he uses the word, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. An house of merchandise will be the subject matter in John's writing there. Will be the subject matter in John's writing there. Why the others brought in prayer, take note, it will be a shorthand for all what he said. You see that? Like I told you, he was meant to write in short form. Now, it will be a shorthand for what he said. All what he said. So he said a whole lot to them. So a shorthand, which is how they will write. They will write in subject matter. So the subject matter there will be was for John will be, make not my house the house of merchandise. So Judas is reading, you will see where he said, make not my house the house of merchandise, that is money changers should not be there. Did you see that? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you are following me.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Also to house of prayer too. Also be shorthand for all what he said. So when they see, when we are following that, like I said to you, you also learn to write your notes the same way. Hallelujah. Okay, something that's interesting. So what the writers of the synoptic did, what they did was to what the writers of the synoptic did was to compress all what Jesus said. They compressed all what Jesus said to what is called shorthand or writing in subject matter. They compressed it all to shorthand or writing in subject matters. Hallelujah. And they wrote it like that so that you would get a grasp of what he was saying. It's not possible that they begin to write word for word all what Jesus said. Even all the volumes of book and dictionaries, and Ghana Must Go will not be able to carry it. So they didn't write word for word verbatim, but they write in subject matters. In subject matters and in shorthand or shorthand. Hallelujah. For example, let's see something quickly.
I've already shown us this, but let's look at it again. In Matthew 22, verse 34. Are you there?
We are not yet halfway into what we have to do today. Not too far. Amen. Okay.
32. This is 34. He says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together, and one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, what is the great commandment of the law? And what did Jesus say? Jesus said to them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Did you see how Matthew put it? Amen? Where is Matthew reading from? Where did Matthew say Jesus is reading from?
He said Jesus is reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going there. Now, they asked Jesus a question.
Listen. And Matthew said this is how Jesus responded. Did you see that?
Let's look at how Mark will put it. Mark 12. Put your hands in Matthew. Go to Mark 12 quickly. Verse 38.
Those of you who are thinking I'll give break. No break, one is two. We'll break the whole break together. Amen. Because tomorrow we'll have break across the three sections. But today, no break. Long. At least in another 45, 1 hour, 2 hours. And the result of 45, 1 hour, 2 hours. Amen. Are you there?
Matthew 22, are you there? Mark 12, sorry. Okay, I want to read from verse 38. Are you there? Okay. What did I go 38 here? 28. One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Did you see that? Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Did you see that? Are they the same thing? Are they the same? They are the same, right? But take note of what is the difference. What do you have as different there? Victor.
What do you have? Okay, you have Victor. Okay, Michael. Who's it? Okay, face not around. You're Michael. You're Isaac. Right? What's the difference? What difference did you find between Mark and Matthew? What they wrote? Michael, you too. What difference do you have?
Everything is the same.
Everything is the same?
Yes, but the difference is how they wrote it.
Okay, how did they write it? I see that. This is the first time I come for teaching, this kind of long teaching meeting. So, the thing is entering your eyes. See
that? What you find in Mark, he didn't put here, O Israel. Now let's see why that happened. Go to Deuteronomy 6. Everybody, Deuteronomy 6. That's the major difference. So that means in my study of scripture, I must be what? Very detailed. Deuteronomy 6. Okay. Let's read 5. Are you there? Look at verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Did you see that? Is that what Jesus is reading from? But look at verses 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Did you see that?
Yes,
so, Mark recorded it from Mark, Deuteronomy 6:4. Matthew just wrote Deuteronomy 6:5. Is it that, he did not say two different things? No. That shows you that what Jesus did was not just mere quoting a verse. A good Bible student doesn't quote a verse. No. What Jesus did was that he read everything. So he read everything. In fact, what they brought in two scriptures, Deuteronomy and Leviticus together. That means what Jesus did was he read through. Amen. So listen to this. He read through in paragraphs, right? He read in paragraphs. We're going to see how Jesus reads. Now in paragraphs, in context. So when this is referenced, remember, something we're going to see also is how Bible was written. Bible wasn't written in verses and chapters. Now when this is referenced here, when they reference Deuteronomy 6:5, 6:4 was to show you, was just to give you a reference so that you will go back and read everything. Now when Matthew and Mark were writing, there was no chapter, no verse. So when they write like this, here is the Lord their God is one Lord, eh? Shall love the Lord their God with all their heart. If they are writing that for you, so that you will go back and read the whole of Deuteronomy. But what Jesus did was not just mere quoting. What Jesus did was teaching. Hope you are following this. So they will now write in subject matter. Imagine they now wrote the whole, what is the answer, and they now wrote the whole Deuteronomy 1 to 6 and put them. How will your Bible be like? After you had Deuteronomy 1 to 6 before, now Deuteronomy 1 to 6 again chapter in Matthew 22, your Bible will be bigger than the Canaan school. But how do we write? We'll now write in shorthand. It's called shorthand, in short form, so that you will go back and reread it. Amen. Can you now see the communication in the Bible? That means the first gospels will point you back to the Old Testament books. You see that? The same way, when you read the book of Acts that was read, it points us back to the four Gospels. Did you see that? He's a writer. Glory to God. So the way they wrote is to write in subject matter. In subject matter. So, and is a writer for a child of God. Don't always be in a rush. Be careful of sometimes, be careful of quoting. Memory passing. I want to say something again. Be careful of jumping into cliches. Amen. What God cannot do just does not exist. Some people say no. Some people are very critical. No. There are some things that God cannot do. You know, you are already Christocentric, no, Christoelectric, according to you. Christocentric, Christoelectric. No, what God cannot sing, God cannot lie. Yes. But something like that, don't be always in a rush to want to air your view. Amen? Somebody comes to ask you. And be careful of yes and no answers. Because that means anything that is thrown at you, you must be ready to teach it across scriptures. And that is the reason for a good local church. You are taught so that you'll be able to teach well. Hallelujah. That you need to teach well. So in Matthew 28 from verses 18, verses 20, he told them to teach. Teaching, he told them, gave them an instruction in the local church to teach. Teaching them. So teaching is very vital. A child of God, a serious Bible student must not be found doing quoting, memory verses. Can you quote 10 scriptures from you? No. Any scriptures you don't know in context,
you shouldn't quote.
Amen. So the role of a good Bible church, the role of a local church, is to teach you God's word so that you'll be able to teach others.
Hallelujah.
That is the primary role of the local church. So when you use the word teaching them there, that word teaching them will carry both the act of teaching and how what is taught is taught. It carry both the act of teaching, the curriculum of teaching, that word teaching them there, will carry both the act of teaching, the curriculum of teaching, and the mode of teaching. The act, the curriculum, and the mode of teaching. And we've been looking at this for a while in church, right?
Right? That a good teacher is first of all a good student, right? Mm-hmm. And a good student is a good reader. And we find that pattern in Jesus.
Jesus was first a good student. Jesus was first a good student. Then a good teacher. And a good teacher. A good student. Luke chapter 2. He was found among the doctors of the law in verse 44,
asking them questions. So, you know, when he was, the Bible says he was found amongst them,
and the Bible says he hacked it, like he listened to them. So that word used for how we, that is attitude, or that he paid keen attention to them, asking them questions. The asking them questions is not to prove them wrong, but asking them intelligent questions so that he would learn.
Hallelujah.
In chapter 4, verse 16 of Luke, he had the custom of going into the synagogue, the synagogue. The synagogue is where scriptures are read, where scriptures are taught. He had that custom of going to the synagogue to learn of the scriptures. So we can say that God, being a man in Jesus, right? God being a man, subjected himself to how scriptures are understood, how scriptures are taught. Amen. I know some people say Jesus' knowledge of scripture, Jesus knew scripture because he is the word became flesh. He is the word. Everything is just inside. That would have that is a good assumption, but it's not true. God didn't do that. Can God do it? Yes, but he chose not to. Amen. Amen. He chose not to. Hallelujah. Rather, what did he do? He subjected himself. God subjected himself to the normal process of knowing scriptures. Hallelujah. To be taught. So Jesus' knowledge of scriptures was not because he is God, but because he was a good student. Hope you're hearing me. Jesus' knowledge of scripture is not because he is God. Divine. No. It was because he subjected himself. And that is really great. Hallelujah. Jesus had to learn scriptures. And it becomes very vital for us today. Very vital for us today. Be careful when I say, nobody taught me. I knew God just dropped it in my heart. Pam, 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 pam. Be careful. That's nonsense. Now we're going to look at what it means. How to, reading scriptures. Reading scriptures and telling you the place of the Holy Ghost. We have that teaching, the place of the Holy Ghost in Bible study. What? Place of the Holy Ghost in Bible study. We taught that in 2019. Place of the Holy Ghost in Bible study. Be careful. The Holy Ghost just drops in my heart. He just entered. I just knew. No. You did not just know nothing. Amen. That's nonsense. What? How that person will explain scripture? Nonsense. He will just quote anything. In fact, have you seen people explain scripture as if they are cooking concussion? Have you not seen it? Concussion. Pastor was sharing something. That was something last year. He said he attended somewhere around 2016. It and the guy was just making good concussion. You know, a concussion. Not talking about Abraham. That a child of God can never know God and be broke. Can never know God. Can say you don't have money. And he now wonders. I'm talking about Pastor now wonders that you should be careful of You're going to church where they will put Bible on the screen. You're not intelligent. Amen. Because you have to, you only see what they made you see. They cannot be brought up to Abraham. Abraham was very wealthy. God lives on a million on giving him. Abraham was very wealthy. Wealthy. They tell some God. They look at Isaac. So he said, as Pastor Shepard said, it was waiting for him to get to Jacob. Let him see how he was going to beat Jacob. Because Jacob asked, Jacob saw Oba. Yeah, because always saw Oba. He was dealt in the house of Laban. Let me tell you how to beat Jacob. When he did say God gave him the sense of 419. You know what he did to Laban? Was so forcing. Okay, was it Laban? Okay, was it was just waiting for him? So the guy tactically did not get to Jacob. Was just playing around. You can't. Then when he got to Jacob, he was saying, when can you see Jacob? Jacob faced famine. Hope you know that. He wanted to die. Read the Bible. Sapa. Sapa Ola. He said, let's go, let's we die. He said, oh, say, oh boy, Sapa do.
No,
you can't know God and not be and be broke. No, my God is Jehovah's you. He's the one that provide money come. I heard someone say Jehovah. So a pastor said you have Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh. And then to him, he is God. He said you have the right to give God your name. So to him, he said God, he said he's Jehovah money come. The Jehovah money come. I used that for a while. I said Jehovah money come. The Lord that brings the shasha. Until the day Satan wounds. You know what I'm saying? Ah, Satan. Satan is no man's friend.
I won't tell like that in school.
Some people think when I was in school, I used to have money. Yes, I used to. At some point, there was a point we had downtime. There was a time like that. I shared with some of your pastors. You know this big bull. Not pentrapa. Oh, a big bull. I don't know. They all those party bull. Not those party bull. So garlic. There was no money. That was the last guy. There was no money for sugar or granite. So the guy poured water. The thing soak. Right, rise up. Pour water. It was right to the bean. You wait. No, you don't be looking at it. It's like it's up. Okay, rise again. So that's what I said. I started soaking it. I'm soaking it. No. I'm a king's kid. I know where I'm going to. I know I'm not going to be looking at it in the future. One of the reasons is today why I don't think at it. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That my world doesn't kill me. I said, I will never. This is the. I said, you know when you so gary, you are done. You didn't even finish it. You are hungry. You are already tired. Now went and you slept and you filled your stomach to the edge. So Lord, if I survive this. Papa, that's what I'm telling you. Jehovah money come. Only money come. It's not only money come, it's CIT. Yeah, you shouldn't do something. So you have got to Jacob. You know what I'm saying? Do you know the reason why Jacob went to Egypt? See, and I showed them. Now open, say the reason why Jacob went to, and the next verse was when Jacob himself said, we go lest we die. He didn't show that part. Amen. Let me show you. Go to Genesis. That should be Genesis 48. Are you there?
Blessed be Jesus. Okay, no. Final plea. Okay. No, 47. Thank you. God bless you. When you have Rabuni, God bless you. Thank you. He only read chapter 42 verse 1 to them. Then now Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt. Jacob said to his sons, why do ye look upon another? Now he just read it. He said the reason why Jacob went to Egypt was because he wanted to go and get a new kind of corn. And everybody will just start shouting. He said, when God begins to bless you, you will move. He said, the corn in Israel, but there's a new species of corn. Whereas verse 2 there said, and he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. You go down thither and buy for us from hence, that we may live and not
die.
That is Saturday. Even if don't have to go to Egypt.
He has to go to Egypt.
Please open the door for me.
Right?
He has to go to Egypt.
He had blessing, you know, he went to Egypt. That will not die. Amen. Amen. Don't stop on those things. Come on, you're ready.
Read well.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So you are taught well. And a good, you said a good friend is a good reader. So be careful of. We are in church. You read a verse. Read the other verse. Read the verse after. Amen. No, but you understand context. Don't just quote a scripture out of context. So you are hearing me. Don't be found quoting Bible out of context. Don't quote anything. Haha. To the day someone now quoted what Satan said.
You didn't even know what Satan said.
Like, there is one scripture like that. That Bible will quote them when I want to teach money. The day I understood the context of that word, if I say some of you will laugh. But you will not find me say it for a long time. Hey, I'll do the comment of that one. I didn't say it again. Anyway, but how?
Good
You find up. When you read scriptures in context, there are some things you won't use anyhow. You use it anyhow. At all.
See, when men shall say they cast him down.
Come when men are cast down,
they shall say,
you call for the corn. That is the most amazing. How me myself saw prosperity there, saw money there. If you call for the corn and it shall increase. He likes it. You come for the call. You come for the money. So where's your money? Bring it. You come for the call. And then you increase it.
You say, until your money gets to the altar, it doesn't receive increase.
Stop saying nonsense. Hallelujah. So don't be found using words out of context. Hear me? Okay. Let's see Jesus as a good teacher.
Jesus as a good teacher. And I've taught you as a good student. Luke 24, verses 44. Quickly. Let's dwell around this a bit. 24, 44. He said, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. Before we get to Luke,
hold it there. God therefore subjected himself to how scriptures are understood.
Right?
Was that what I said?
Yes,
and that is very vital for us today. Okay. Now, something you must see is that same pattern. My understanding of scripture should be first that I am taught, then I'm able to teach. Do you understand me? Don't just say you were in the spirit and the Lord revealed it to you. Like that the Lord revealed it to one of my friends. And I say Jesus saying, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, was Jesus speaking in tongues. How is that Jesus speaking in tongues? Jesus on the cross. He said, he came to me and he said, sir, do you know that Jesus spoke in tongues? Ah. We were happy. I said, wow. What is this, a revelation from God? That when he was told in the spirit of God, just dropped it out that Jesus spoke in tongues. I said, how? He says, when he said Eloi, Eloi, did you remember that even the Jews, everybody there didn't even know what he was saying. He said Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. So it means, you know, simple brain would just say that it was interpreted. It was tongues. You know what I'm saying? You know, the interpretation was written. My Lord, that is simple. Say, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. That is tongues. Tongues of the Holy Ghost. Say, it is a revelation that God gave. Say, that's why nobody knew it there.
That's nonsense.
You say, the Holy Ghost. The place of the Holy Ghost in Bible interpretation is that you should read well. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to see. The place of the Holy Ghost in Bible interpretation is that you should read. Be a student. Be taught. Someone once said, we are born again. We don't just have the scriptures, we have the master of the scripture, which is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost brings the scripture in the logos form and put it to you in the rhema form. The day I will teach you logos and rhema, that nonsense people say, you stop it. It's a rhema. It's when the Holy Ghost puts it in your mouth. Stop fucking nonsense. What are you hearing? No. That's not it. What are you following? That's not it. That's not what rhema is.
So the Holy Ghost does just give you.
Do you know when Paul gazed into the third heavens? So the Holy Ghost opened my eyes to see the third heavens. What is third heavens that you think? So there's the seventh heaven. There's 24th heaven. So saying some things that are not biblical. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you are following me.
Amen.
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 So you should. I say that I say it to Ross, and I'm also going to keep saying it. And it will get louder. The Holy Ghost's place in Bible interpretation is that you should read it. Read it first. And we'll see why we have to read. Amen? We'll see. You see, because if you know what the Holy Ghost, what the place of the Holy Ghost is in Bible writing, in terms of inspiration to write, you know what his place is in the interpretation of what he wrote. Amen. Hope you are hearing me. If you know what the Holy Ghost place in Bible inspiration is, but the Holy Ghost inspired Bible writing, if you know what it means to inspire the Bible, to write the Bible, then you will know what it means that the Holy Ghost is inspiring you in reading the scriptures. It will not mean that the Holy Ghost now carried your hand. At least that should help a bit. A bit? Right? To help you a bit? And we'll see all that in this series. And even today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So let's see a few. So, that is also another pattern for us to see. You are taught so that you can teach. So what is the place of the Holy Ghost in understanding scriptures? Be taught. You read. Is that? Be taught and you read. I love what a pastor friend wrote, a pastor colleague wrote online. He said, if you are not a good follower, you can never be a good leader. And you can bring that into the context of Bible interpretation. If you are not a good follower, that is a good student, learning the scriptures, you can never be able to teach rightly. You can. So you must read, a rebellious student will never have a committed audience. You will never know scriptures in rebellion. Hope I hear you. Always take note of that. So that is the pattern. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you've learned from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. Is that commit? So you commit to men what you have heard. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So it's a pattern. It's a pattern. And where is that pattern coming from? That pattern is coming from the Genesis. I will skip. Okay, from the Genesis. What Moses will write as Genesis, what Moses will write in Genesis as the oracles of God will be oral traditions that he was taught. Did you see that? Oral traditions he was taught. Then look at what he said in Exodus chapter 18. Exodus 18. Are you in Exodus 18? Now look at what it says. Look at verse 19. They hearken unto my voice. That is his father-in-law speaking to him in person of Jethro. They hearken unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the curses unto God. Now look at what it says. And thou shalt teach them the ordinances and the laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work which they must do. You see that? He will teach them. So when he teaches them, look at what now happens in verse 21. Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over the people to be rulers of thousands and rulers of tens, and rulers of hundreds and fifties and rulers of tens. You see that? And let them judge the people at all season, and it shall be every great matter it shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, and it shall be easier for thee. Do you see that? For thyself, and they shall bear the burdens with thee. So, what did he tell them to do? He told Moses that what you shall do is, you gather people out, you teach. Do you see that? From your teaching, you choose men, you teach them, they will be able to teach others. Do you see that? It's a pattern. You teach men. So when we use the word judge there, is the word used for teaching. So you teach them, they will, it's a pattern. Hallelujah. Do you see that? It's a pattern. In Deuteronomy. Chapter 17. Chapter 17 verse 18. And it shall be, when he sits there talking about the king on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write them a copy of this law in a book out of which he said before the priest and the Levite. And he shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord God, to keep all the words of the law and the statutes, and to do them.
So when they say he shall read, now that word read there is not just is the word you use for how you also teach also. Amen. So the king will read Moses' word and then teach the people. So the king is like a pastor. You see that? The king of Israel is like a pastor. So he reads it to the people. Hope you're following me. He reads Moses' laws to the people. And what is Moses' law? It's not thou shalt not, thou shalt not. When they say Moses' law here, the law, he was referring to what? That is in the hands of the priest and the Levite. Listen. So before the kings will come, who would have the laws? The priests and the Levites. What is their role? Preaching. So what is the law? The law, is not referring to law. You don't use, don't read law like you would call law in your day to day. No. It's used for doctrine. It's used for teaching. So he's talking about his teaching notes. You see that? His teaching notes. And that will be Genesis down to Deuteronomy. You see that? His teaching notes. Will be taught.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. How many people were you? Where were they
go?
Very, very
high.
So how therefore did Jesus explain the scriptures?
Now I told us to open to Luke 24, right? Was that what I said? Okay, Luke 24. Now we are there. Verses 27. And, okay. Well, Luke 27 first. Verse 25, he calls them all fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that have spoken. All the Christ who suffered this sin and entered into his glory, and beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, they found unto them in all the scripture of the things concerning himself. 44. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Who were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And you open it, they understand that they might understand the scriptures. Watch what he has done. So that means,
if you look at these two scriptures closely, you will see that Jesus will read from the Genesis.
Beginning at, watch that, 27, is a beginning at Moses. Beginning at Moses. Moses there will be Genesis. Beginning at Genesis. He calls it the law of Moses. Did you see how Moses, how Genesis to Malachi is referred to? It's referred to as Moses, the law of Moses, the prophet and the sons. Hallelujah. And the sons. So Jesus begins from Moses, shows you that Moses or Genesis is how scriptures are read.
How scriptures are read is Genesis. Genesis is how scriptures are read.
When you use the word beginning, it's the word arche, A-R-C-H-E, arche. Arche. Arche is a word used for a starting point. A starting point. And that starting point becomes a model. A starting point, the shade of the word for a model. A model. So Jesus,
reading from Moses, is how scripture should be read. Is how scripture should be read. So, a very wrong way to read the Bible, to read scriptures, is to start reading scriptures from, you just open your Bible and open to Matthew 23, or just do many, many, many more. Father has a donkey. Donkey that we don't know. Deuteronomy 16. No. That's not how to read the Bible. Okay, you don't read the Bible like that. Remember, I taught you, you don't know God by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't read your Bible like that. You must start from Genesis. I spoke to somebody one time and the person asked me, are you saying, sir, that we should read our Bible like a novel from Genesis? I say emphatically yes. Read it like a novel from Genesis. From Genesis 1:1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you want to go into an exam and then you are reading from chapter 18? Even if, imagine you have a teacher who wants to teach you and is drawing up concussion. He has a textbook of 24 chapters, starts from chapter 23, goes back to chapter 2, jump back to chapter 19, go back to chapter 5 and tell you we're in chapter 35. You say that teacher knows nothing, right? Because there is a system of reading. Hallelujah. There is a system of reading from the first chapter, from the first book. Hallelujah.
So Bible is like that. From the beginning. Matthew chapter 19 quickly. Matthew 19 verse 4. It says, and he answered and said to them, they came asking him in verses 3, tempting him and saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? And Jesus answered and said, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He that made them at the beginning. So Jesus pointed them back to the beginning. Genesis. So Genesis is called the beginning. Genesis is called the beginning. He pointed them back to Genesis. It's a beginning at Moses. Or he that made them at the beginning. Genesis. Did you see that? Made them what? male and female. That Genesis 1:27. Yeah, Genesis 1:27. Created in his image, male and female created he them. Genesis 5:2. In the day that Lord created man in his image, male and female created he them. Genesis 5:2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So very vital. In his image. So he points them back to Genesis, that in the Genesis there is no segregation. In the Genesis there is no separation. In the Genesis you find male and female in God. That is a direct attack on their patriarchal system. Hallelujah. A direct attack. He said in the Genesis what you find is man and woman in Christ. Man and woman. Created he them male and female. You see that? He points them back to Genesis and he said, have you not read? Read there is the word anaginosko. Anaginosko. Ana means to read, to do something again. Again. To come back again. You see that? Nosko or ginosko there is used for how you recognize something. So he's saying, have you not read it again? Have you not paid attention to it? Pay attention to Genesis. Hallelujah. So the believer must pay attention to what? The beginning. I said something and I heard it from a minister, a dear man of God, Reverend Christopher Yakilobe. He said every major truth has its roots in Genesis. Has its roots in Genesis. I would love to say it like this. Every truth of Bible, every truth of the Bible has its beginning point in Genesis. Has its beginning point in Genesis. Hallelujah. Beginning point in Genesis. Every Bible truth. Hallelujah. So Genesis is how it is read. So he points them back again to Genesis. Pay attention to the details. Don't skip it. So when he uses the word, when he says Genesis, and they use the word read, have you not read? He used the word read and he said Genesis. It shows you reading from Genesis is, or reading from Genesis shows a systematic way
Bible ought to be read. Reading from Genesis shows a systematic way Bible ought to be read. Genesis. Look at verses 8.
And then they came and he said, for this cause a man leave his father and mother. So look at verse 8, verse 7. And they said to him, why did Moses command to give a writing of divorce and to put her away? And he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife. But from the beginning,
it was not so. Isn't that? Hallelujah. Now Jesus brings in three scriptures into this conversation. Now, how? Look up here. They say, why did Moses then give a bill of divorcement? Because in Deuteronomy, Moses now gave a bill of divorcement. Remember, the bill of divorcement, will it be Moses' teaching? Or, will it be Moses' teaching or Moses' example, illustration? Bill of divorcement means we'll give you a paper and say, you can leave my house. So will it be Moses' teaching or Moses' example? It will be example. It was an example. But yet, it will carry the weight of God's law. Because in their world, if a man puts away his wife, the wife will die. Number one, no man can marry you. Imagine that you will be put to death in some other clan. Okay, hear me. So you cannot marry a wife that is good. So Moses can give that bill of divorcement that the woman can go again and start up another life. This is okay. She can now go. She won't be free that the husband has put her in. You see that? Because if you don't have that bill of divorcement and you are put away, number one, you are subject to death. Two is that if you have any intercourse with any other man, you are gone. This is that. So Moses doesn't know. Look at a bit of divorcement. Now she's not bound because that was their culture. It was a patriarchal culture. I've thought on this. Patriarchal and feminism. So I can still go back to it. Amen. So it was their patriarchal culture. And Moses said no. It was a direct attack. No. Give her a bit of divorcement. Because in the Genesis, you have male and female. Did you see that? So there is no superior gender. Like those of people who write on Tino, right, want to talk about me, especially Timmy, by this gender self. I don't understand why you do that. Be careful of the cookie. This gender. This gender has a big deal. You shouldn't be found among believers. Amen. There are some things you don't do, you don't see, because you know the scripture. So Moses now said, no. Rather than doing that, give a bit of it. And that was in Deuteronomy. Watch this. Deuteronomy. And listen, but if they had stayed with Genesis, would they have a reason for a bit of divorcement? No. When they stay with Genesis, they will see the gender as equal in Christ. Did you see that? But they didn't. So why did they Moses give them a bill of divorcement? Moses now said the reason for the bill of divorcement, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Something we're going to look at in the course of our series, maybe not this one, another series, is how Jesus will now say, because of your heart, as if Moses was referring to them. But Moses wasn't referring to them, but Jesus was pointing them and Moses' audience as the same. Hope you're following me. Something we're going to see shortly, but not really in detail. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hope you are here with me.
Yes,
hope you are here with me.
Yes,
like, let your eye close. I'll be done. Yeah. Yeah. So, now what did Moses do? He said, Moses, because of the hardness. And what did Jesus do? He said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. So when do you find hardness of heart? Numbers. Did you see that? Oh, go up here following that.
Yes.
More than God, the hardness of the heart will be numbered. So, what Jesus is saying is the reason for the Deuteronomy is because there is a number. Deuteronomy means Deuteronomos, which is second law. Did you see that? So that means there was the first law. Don't worry. Second law. So the first law, which is the first doctrine of Moses, you'll find it in Exodus, Genesis, Exodus. This is that. So he said, Moses, because of numbers, numbers was hardness of heart. He said, suffered you to put away your wives. You see that? But from the beginning, Genesis. So that means if you understood Genesis, you must also therefore read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers to see why the reason for Deuteronomy putting away of your wife will be because of numbers. So what Jesus has done is just to show them a systematic way of reading your Bible. You don't jump to Deuteronomy without numbers and numbers. You can't talk about numbers without the law in Genesis and Exodus. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. So that means how scripture should be read should be in a systematic contextual format. Hope you're following me. There's an order for reading the Bible. You don't jump to Deuteronomy without Exodus, without Numbers, without Genesis. No, that's a wrong way of reading. That's why some people see today, they've never opened their Bible to Nahum. They say, what is that? Yeah. Nahum. Nahum. Say, what is Nahum? Yeah. Do you know the Bible, put on the Bible called, Uzziah. Uzziah, you know, I've known Uzziah. They say, I've never called Zephaniah. Is Zephaniah what? That sounds like, is this Zacharias? I know, Zephaniah. Have you heard of, have you opened your Bible to the book of Mika? Is it Miwa? Is that the Bible? No. Mika, is it scripture? Mika? Where is this? Is it Old Testament or no? It's pre-Old Testament. Amen. Oh, we don't know. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. There's an order to reading your Bible. Start from the Genesis. We're following you. Don't just jump.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I have in my notes. I have Deuteronomy. I mean, before you get to Deuteronomy, is the number. And numbers is a reason for Deuteronomy. So if you miss it in numbers, you miss it in Deuteronomy. Do you see that? If you miss that numbers hardness of heart, you will miss Deuteronomy. Similarly, if you miss Genesis, you will not just miss Numbers and Exodus. You will not just miss Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus and Deuteronomy. You will miss the whole scriptures. Once you miss it in Genesis, you miss the whole scriptures. Because Genesis is the model. Genesis is the beginning. Do you see that? That is how scripture should be read. What about you? Yeah. You know, when you meet Genesis seed, when you meet Genesis seed and you think it is rice and beans, you know, when you get to Jesus' seed, you'll be seeing rice and beans and grains. What about you? You will not read well. So if you meet it in Genesis, if you meet Genesis serpent, you think Jesus is sending you to the bush to be marching serpent and scorpion, because you missed the Genesis of that. Hope you are following that. And scorpions. Hope you are seeing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is the pattern. So Genesis is how we read the scriptures. So like I said earlier when we started, I want to also make that disclaimer again. Have it in my notes. I guess it's very vital I make it because it kept coming to my mind. So this series is not a defense of God. Not a defense of God. But rather, we read scriptures together. So, we will see really from scripture who God is. Because a lack of systematic study of scriptures from the Genesis is the reason for many assumptions and misconceptions. I'll take it again. It's a lack of systematic study of scriptures from the Genesis is the reason for many assumptions and misconceptions. For many people, sometimes myself inclusive, for some of those things I'm practically and consciously renewing my mind. Most people, their knowledge of God is far from what is in the scriptures. Very far. They are just like Job. No Job. Job was like that. Their knowledge of scripture was very far. Amen? I remember one day like that in school. Yeah, one time like that, there was a time like that in school, I told somebody that God has no hand in death. A middle person. What do you mean? What do you mean? Say the Lord give it and the Lord take it. Who quoted that? Who said that? Job. Who said that? Job. The Lord give it and the Lord take it. That's just like Job. Job made that kind of thing. God give it and the Lord take it. Now you try to say God does not kill. I think God doesn't kill. You know, today I can't say something like that. Then I used to pick up arguments. Say God doesn't kill. Different accusations. This guy is a heretic, whatever, whatever. I don't care. I'll tell you, I'll say, because death is an enemy. And that is the only thing I know. 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that can be destroyed is death. Say death is an enemy. If death is an enemy, God cannot use the weapon available to the enemy to take his children out of the air. So God is not. It's an enemy. True. But I can't take such kind of fight. Yeah. Can't defend God. So what do you mean? I now begin to do defense of God. No.
Hallelujah.
What are we going to
do? Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes, God is not involved in death. Well, we'll look and we'll see. Hallelujah. We'll see. God doesn't kill. Hallelujah. But like I said to us when we started, when we read together, many of those conceptions, many of them I will not have to tell you. When we read together, you will find God's character, God's person in scripture. Then you will say, oh, God wasn't here. That, oh, God wasn't here. I remember one time like that, Pastor Shelby told us a story. He said of a lady. Lady came and was then giving vision she saw about heaven and hell and people that were there. Then he didn't say anything to her. He didn't say one word. He said, okay. He just continued. Then started teaching the lady normal. He made sure he did not say anything about that vision. daughter for a while, for about a space of 3 years. So what did the lady now identified? Where is I can actually remember. Where he said near one box side like that. So the lady now came and was not talking to her and said, "Sir, this is what you've been teaching me for a while. Sir, does it mean that that vision I said I saw about heaven was not actually vision? It was just dream. I didn't really go to heaven." I said, "Hey, that is, I didn't want to tell you this. I just wanted you to see it yourself from the Bible." Did you see that? And you know, people, I just told you, I grew up in a time when people, families would gather. They do what is called community listening to radio. Different families will gather. Everyone will not be quiet. We'll not pull radio. Now increase the volume. The whole block will be hearing. Community. I want to give my confession. Confession cassette. How I joined court. They were now chasing me for my life. I was now running. They took me, we used to have our meeting inside 3. We entered the 3 in the night by 12 a.m. When you call G, one of the rules that I was not called Jesus. Kind of stuff is that. When the Lord the man killed me and I died and I went to heaven. One man said it was not one confession like that. See, for me to be teaching you the word of God and teaching you what I'm teaching you today, making you see, it causes a whole lot of renewing of my mind. I'm serious. Things like that. Not that I'm calling some notable people that died and we're in hell. Even mention God money. Mention a lot of people. For some of you, that became my rebellion. Why I love now love for money when I was growing old. Or the things I did, I was just doing it just to counter. Those are some of the fights. And now who now love reggae music. It's not a joke. Because all those things, it was a fight. Because it was somewhere subconscious. Many of people, they will run like that after they were done. Nobody would throw that thing. No, if, or rather nobody, not to go to empire, including the star, that is no way throws away my mega. See, it's not a joke. Of, see that? The one told me one time, the bottle squeezed in, before throws that fire, that will know where. I should go to empire. She does not just wear trousers. She's stronger. Yeah? But there was a girl that she doesn't. And I didn't tell her anything. Don't wear trousers. What are the times like that? So, if you wear trousers, nobody will even tell you. What you say, let us pray. Even if it is a rag that is on the floor, you put it on your head. Because if you don't cover your head, say when they go to heaven, and when they go to hell, those people always go to hell. Well, they will come. Go to hell. They saw people who were in hell because they were wearing earrings. Some people with ear hole closed. When they were wearing earrings. Even me at some point, I might have someone that I was in good news school. I'm sure some of you years back, the woman. So, she now gave me a book. The quest, the final quest. I couldn't sleep. Final quest. I'm telling you, Father. Final quest. At some point, and I said, this is my Christian life. It's not everybody that will make it though. I heard a bit, I said, Ma, how can I do? Say, just be pure. I was that pure. Say, just be pure. Final quest. When they gave that book. I didn't finish that book. I couldn't even read it. Because the fear at the beginning of the book was terrible. And guess what? How old I was. I was just in GS1. Final quest. That book was terrible. I was shaking. So you read me a book I have. I'm not telling you to go and read the book. What is this? I said, oh boy. I told myself, oh boy, this is heaven raised.
This heavenly way.
And you're like, sir, man, what will I do? He said, just be pure. She now said, didn't you see? Jesus Christ said, it will be hard for a rich man. So I did not like money at all. I just said I was going to be this confirmed person. I'm saying, no money. See, rich man. I said, if I do, she now told me, if your eyes will make you miss heaven, cut it off. To make you know how serious that is, there was a time I almost took away my eyes. It was not a joke. I said, this heavenly day, say, because when you get to heaven, your eyes will restore back. So I was ready to be blind to see heaven. I'm not telling you this to make you laugh, or I'm telling you the truth. And I just go, let me just be alive in heaven. That the heavenly race is so heavenly. That the gate of heaven, is like, he said, she illustrated it, he said, she, you see, but look again. So whenever, till tomorrow, if I read gate of heaven, my mind goes to Mark Luke again. Morgan, that's what my mind is not a joke. No matter what the illustration she gives to me. See, today, my ears narrow is the, my mind goes there. How terrible those things are. There are things that will not teach a child. Look at me today. I'm still battling those things. See, tomorrow. That means you shouldn't teach a child. You think I know the child. He will remember it. I might, if that child is not effectively taught, he will carry it up through his life. Remember, I have, imagine an old man telling me that when you are on your way to heaven, he has not died, but he heard it from somebody that said he died. Going to heaven, you'll be hearing Jimmy Reeves. What kind of heaven is that? They should just be playing Davido. Let's know where Davido is going. One bright morning, you're not hearing me. It's your neighbor that was playing it. You were just in a trance and they thought you were dead. Stop nonsense. Oh, maybe, okay, then they took him out to the mortuary. I said, maybe when he was in the mortuary, the mortuary attendant was playing the Reeves. You were just subconsciously hearing it. Please stop saying nonsense. Jimmy Reeves. They not even play MJ.
Jimmy Reeves.
Yeah. You should stop some things. Okay, let's look at this.
So a lot of misconceptions. A lot of people have misconceptions about God. Who God is. Who God is. And they, just like I said, they are not different from Job. Job said, God giveth, God taketh.
Look at Job. Job 42 quickly. Verses 5. It says, this is Job speaking. He says, I have heard thee talking to the Lord. Say, Job answered the first one. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I have at 5, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee. Did you see that? He said, I have heard thee. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. By the hearing of the ear. Well, use that word, by the hearing of the ear, it means that how Job knew God was by hearsay, what people said about him. He had no experience. Say, but now I see him. You see him in his saving power. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Say, now I see him. Glory to God. Say, now I see him. So, by the hearing of the ear. So you cannot know God by hearsay. Somebody say, if you're knowing of God is by what people say, and not what you have read, learned from the scriptures.
Therefore, you're knowing you are not different from a gossiper. You're a gossiper. You know, some people say, I'm not a gossiper, but you like people to give you gossip, not to get deep. You are a muted gossiper. You know, there are gossipers that talk. That you are the carrier of the gossip. Well, some people, they are the muted gossipers. They want everybody to give them gist. You don't be listening. You are a muted gossip.
How many are you
doing? So Job knew God by the hearing of the ears. No experience. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
They cannot know God by some people's story. No. No. Rather, the knowledge of God or something else. Some people know God by movies. Not even good movies. By Nollywood. Acted by Chidi Moikeme. Nigeria will know God by movies. By Funke Akindele. By movies. They display. Some of them are not even born again. And they are acting in Christian movies. I read someone one time. He said, when Satan comes, you just hold your Bible with him. And pray and show your Bible. And some people do it though. And just pray. You carry your Bible with him like this. Come and taste the devil. What are you expecting to come out of your Bible? A duke. On fireball. No. No. Amen. He has the knowledge of God. That God is always fighting the devil. God is always fighting the devil. No. God is not always fighting the devil. God is bigger than the devil. God has no time for these rigmaroles. God is the opposing force to the devil. It's the mindset you have. Oh God! Arise now! Oh God! Arise now! And trouble my troubler! Say that. So all God does is a war with the devil. Mm-hmm. They are fighting them. God is coming out to fight. So some people see God as a man that has a horse and carries a knife and be fighting devil every day. For how many thousand years? Satan was created by him. Satan is not an opposite force to God. I've said that over and again. Satan is not an opposite force. Not on the same league. How about your enemies? God is on a league with no one. He is God. See, you are hearing. God is in a league with no one. He is God. He occupies that space. He is God. Every other being, apart from him, was created by him. Hope you are hearing me. God is on his league. Hallelujah.
The song we used to sing when we were growing up, very lovely.
Jesus, now you be your God. Oh Lord, that God, now so say, yeah. But I mean, he's not a denial of the other gods who say that they are God, but they are not up to his league.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's see a few. Again. So, the knowledge of God can only be true of, I put it like this, God can only be known through systematic and contextual reading of the scriptures from Genesis. We said that earlier, right? Right? Very vital. Let's do something in that Matthew 22 again. We had the Sadducees, Matthew 22. The Sadducees, are you there? Matthew 22, verse 20, 28. So they came to believe. The Sadducees had also astute scholars of Moses.
They are very intellectual scholars of Moses.
So they came to him, and they asked him a question.
A man got married to a wife, to his wife, and the man died. The wife had no child. The second one got married, the second born carried, the family had 7 children. First married the wife, the man died. The second died. Third, like that, all of them married the woman, and finally all of them died. Before uncle, you should read this to today. Finally, both the woman and all of them died. They now are in the resurrection. They are trying to get Jesus into a feast. In the resurrection, whose wife shall she be, seeing that all of them had her? Yeah, that was funny. But Jesus answered and said, look at what Jesus said to them.
In verse 29, he says, you err. That word err there is a word in the Greek, plenao. P-L-A-N-A-O. Planao is a word used to imply you go astray, to go astray, to wander away from the truth, to deviate from the truth. Say you err. It's like a bait.
It takes you a bait that takes you out of the truth. Then you err. You are wandering away. You go astray. You err, not knowing the scriptures. Mark that.
So you err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Look at what it says. It says you err, and look at the err. It says because they know not the scriptures.
We will expand that. They know not the scriptures. Hallelujah. We will expand that in the coming days. Hallelujah. Is there not the power of God? Hallelujah.
It didn't say they did not read the scriptures, so they read it, right? But they didn't read it properly.
You err not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God.
So when you use the word not the power of God, that word power of God there is used for the resurrection. That is the word used for the resurrection in the epistles, the power of God.
So when they talk about the resurrection, they talk about it as the power. The epistles talk about it as the power of God. So that means, if I do not have a systematic, contextual reading of the Bible from the Genesis, I will have assumptions. I will have assumptions about God and the scriptures in general. I will have assumptions about God and the scriptures in general.
Amen.
And that will be untrue. Assumptions. You don't know God by assumptions. Just pick here. That one we'll get to look at the believer's faith and material wealth. Let's even see. Let's understand some things about material wealth.
Amen.
Amen. And God's divine provision.
Glory to God.
Okay. So a man,
I'll put it this way. When a man doesn't have accurate, systematic reading culture, when a man doesn't have a systematic, accurate reading culture to discover what the scripture is all about, he or she will end up with theories about God. We end up with assumptions and theories about God. For example, you hear things like, some people believe that God in the Old Testament, God born again in the New Testament.
Have you heard people say that? God repented. The God of the Old Testament is not born again in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God was always getting angry. Any small thing.
Something you need to do. Listen to Ministry of Angels. I taught it there.
Hallelujah. I taught it there. And that actually would help us, because I might not go that route in this teaching. But if you read that, if you get to study, now I'm giving you two things you have to listen to. So all through this week, spend time listening to Ministry of Angels and Revelation of God Series 1. Now, what would that help you do? It will help you put some fill in the gaps. Right? That you, because I'm riding on those assumptions, amen, that I might not necessarily go delve into, but in those cities I delved, I might just talk about them on the surface, but I delved into them in those teachings, so that you can get back to those teachings. Amen. But if I get to those, if I get to them in this teaching, we will not be done till this year ends. We will not be done. Even this one, I'm thinking of when we will be done. From the beginning. Amen. Yeah. Because I'm thinking we might have close to by estimate here, though I'm not done, we might have up to 27 sections. We will not have. So I'm thinking of where I can get 27 sections from. In this field. Amen.
Yeah.
And the section will not go more than, we will not go lesser than 2 hours. To the whole lot. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So, we would have to compress some things. We'll compress some things that we'll have to, so that we can find it all into this year before GPL are right out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, in that series on ministry of angels, I told us the place of angels in the Old Testament books, in the giving of the law. Right? When I mean the law, I'm talking about the ordinances, the do's and the don'ts. I spoke about that a bit. So, you should read that. Right? Read that very well. Read it together with... okay, just listen to it. Get that one better. Hallelujah. So touch on it and then we'll move ahead from there to be better. And it's off on his website too. Hallelujah. So let's see this. So some people think God repented. God in the Old Testament used to kill people. Bad dudes. You just thank God, just give you leprosy. Leprosy. Just like God is just God with any little thing, God is really angry. But the New Testament, Jesus now touched his heart. So when people like this, God wanted to come like this, Jesus just says, so for my sake. So the reason why in the New Testament, Jesus, God doesn't just give you blue, those. It's because if God wants to, it's not that God does not want to come on to me, but Jesus will just need that. Just say, please my blood. So the blood will just give, we have to fetch him that, just see my blood. There's my blood, I died for him, my blood. What about the unbeliever? So when God wants to just kill the unbeliever, you just say, please, my children will still preach to them, Edjo, just chill out. No, no, that is assumption. That is assumption. You know, some people still assume that, no, I can provoke that part of God. Can provoke it. You think he's a Shango? That you just wind his head. You just change. You know, some people have that assumption that God lives and comes. So you want to bring God here, just sing praise and worship. Let it touch God's heart. Just call his name that you are singing, Obala. Lady Mary. Ah! The same name that they call Shango. You know, you know they call Shango to Obanla. You don't know. What is Obanla? Big king. Anybody can be big king. King of Lagos can be big king. Oni of Ife, they call him Obanla. That's it. When you just be praising God like that, you call him Agidida one. Ochendu. The man that runs with the basket. With water in the basket and the water doesn't drop off. You are the God will drop you in like this. God will not come down. What do you take God to be? I trust the Lord that in the next couple of decades and years, you will come to know him much more. And that knowledge will fill the whole earth. Yeah, I believe God. I believe so. All nonsense that people have stories about God will be taken away by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, all eyes will see him and know him from the scripture. Yeah. So that today we're having worship section. So you know we're gonna bring God down. So today's services will bring God down.
They want to break. So before they do that, they always have someone that will come and cite you. No God, cite you. Tell you, you know, or the person that tell you, you know, when we praise God like this. I hear the one young guy. I used to be part of it. Now he's now doing. So it was. He's now doing gospel music. So I was hearing him in a particular place. And I say, you know, as we praise God today, as we praise God today, when we get into that realm, you know, when we say those things, you know, when we pray, God hears us. When we sing from our heart, we sing, He comes down. He lifts His throne, takes the next flight, and comes down to the earth. What nonsense are you saying? That God will not take flight. God will not come down. We will not find Him in our midst. So we just stand up from His throne. You think God is sitting on your ego chair? You just sit on my ego chair. You now wear His cap. You change. Who is singing? Ah! My son, my son. Come on, stop it. My daddy, my daddy! You're being loud, you're singing. And then my, who is that? Wisdom. Oh, wisdom is you. No way, I'm coming down. Ah. The right wing man. I'm coming down. Yeah, call down. And then my son. What do you want? You say, at that point, you can get anything from God. You think God is your father. When you cite Him and cite Him and cite Him. You know what I'm saying? Daddy, buy me to do you. I'll give you money. Don't say, cry to God. He hears your cry. Let me shock you. Your cry, you just waste your tears. God doesn't respond to your tears. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So some people have just so God repented. God
as a God. No, He's not your father at home. Amen. So don't equate it. He is your father. And he has given you how you should know Him. Do you understand me? So tomorrow we will be looking at some of those things around the hallelujah. He's your father. And scriptures. Why was scriptures written? God, scriptures was written so that God wants you to know Him. So, God wants you to know Him, and He gives His word. Hallelujah. He gives His word. Some people tell you the reason for the flood. God sends flood to kill people. You'll be shocked. That God didn't send any flood. He said the flood, and then God wiped the whole earth. God killed people. No! That's why people had issues when it was COVID. They thought God is at it again. God is here now. He wants to now reduce the earth a bit. So he now sent COVID. He now killed people. He's God. How is it God? COVID is God. No. The theory is that God, the rapture is just by the corner. There shall be some flight to take place. Okay, sorry, first boss. So get ready. We are going to. It's not God. A lot of people said a lot of things, but it's not. God is not involved. Hallelujah. God is not involved. In James chapter 1. James 1.
Verses 15. From verses 13. Oh, verses 15 to 16. Let me look at 15 to 16. We should be rounding off anytime soon. Hallelujah.
That's enough. Take the other ones tomorrow. Let me look from James.
Look from James. Look at what else tomorrow. James, I'm James. That's the open to James. I'm not here. Okay. James 1, are you there? 15? It says, verses 13. It says, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Do you see that? Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any Did you see that?
Don't say when you are tempted and God wants to test. Some people say God is trying to test me. Somebody said in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 3, that this is where God put the tree of garden. I mean, I said the tree of garden. The tree in the garden. If there was tree, you know? They put the tree in garden. The garden was God wanted to test Adam and Eve. Sure, we're alright. How can you say God wanted to test? Say God doesn't tempt. God wanted to test. Say, how what about Abraham? Go and listen to session 1. I mean, I did session 1 to series 1. I thought about Abraham then. Hallelujah. I thought you guys about Abraham then. So go back to series 1 and listen to it. That one you use the word, God didn't tempt Abraham. I know your Bible story. They say God wanted to tempt Abraham. In fact, King James now made it worse. He now put the root word there, tempted. But it was not tempted. It's to prove. So it was like Abraham. And what to prove is, it deals with to teach. So Abraham was having a teaching class with his son. It's not God trying to test. No, no. God was not trying to test Abraham to see if Abraham would fall. No, it was a teaching class. You listen to that? I taught you that in the first series. Hallelujah. So God doesn't, and then listen to temptation, trials, and persecutions. I taught it there too. Temptations, trials, I taught it there too. God wasn't tempting Abraham. Okay, here we go. So get those messages. Listen to the messages I'm asking you to listen to. And listen to them well. Hallelujah. God doesn't tempt. So James writes it there clearly. God doesn't tempt. With evil neither tempted he any man. So that means we have to go back and reread what we read as temptation again. And see, was it really God that was tempting them? Did you see that? Did you see that? That means if you had read Genesis to Malachi and you saw temptations there, then that means you have a fault in your reading. You have to go back again and reread. Did you see that? It says in verse 14, it says, verse 14, but everybody said that John. Now look at verse 14. It says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So he's telling you how temptation comes, his own lust and enticed. So that means since God doesn't tempt, it also means God is not involved in man's lust. Did you see that? God is not involved in man's lust. Hallelujah. So when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So God is not involved in temptation. He's not involved in man's lust. Also, he's not involved in sin. You read that? God is not involved there. God is not fully involved in death. Man, hallelujah. Not involved in sin. In lust. In temptation, lust, sin, and death. Hope you are saying that. God is not involved at all. Hallelujah. So I have it in my notes. It means God is not associated with man's sin and man's desires, which is lust. Man's desires is not associated there. Hallelujah. So he warned them in verses 15. Verses 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Is that do not err. He goes back again. He warned them, do not err. Plan now. What does that mean? It means if I get back to the Genesis. If I get back to Genesis down to Malachi, which is the scripture, I will discover that when we read well, that God will not be found in sin, in man's desires or in temptations. God will not be found in that. So he said, do not err. Do not be drawn away. Do you hear me? Do not be drawn away. Do not wander away. God is not involved. It's a disclaimer. God is not involved. So we have to read it well. Hallelujah. Take note, it's not a defense of God, but we are reading to see God's nature, God's character from the Genesis. Hope you understand that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Therefore, Genesis, reading from Genesis to Malachi becomes contextual. So context therefore will mean I will have to read everything from the Genesis.
Hallelujah. Tomorrow we'll take it up from here, and we'll take it up from where we stopped today, and we'll look at a couple of other things. Hallelujah.
You learned something?